Medford.
I want to kiss you on the mouth.
And a pleasant good evening to you wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thank you for tuning in. This is Shukri Wright, signing on for the first time in 2022 on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tufts Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide, as always, on the TuneIn Radio app, globally on WMFO.org. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you for making this program part of your Monday evening, January 10th, 2022. I am fired up to be back for a litany of reasons. And all of those reasons you're here as we go through the course of the show, can't give it all away because where's the fun in that? You gotta, you know, create a tease somehow, some way. But nonetheless, first program of 2022, this was not planned whatsoever. When I was last on the air on December 20th, I had mentioned at the end of the show, I'll talk to you again next week, final show 2021. Well, that never happened. Because the one and only Shukri Wright got sick with COVID. And after 2 years of ducking and weaving and bopping, it finally said, hey, here's a nice uppercut to your chin. Wham! It got me. So, yours truly was quarantining for 10 days. And needless to say, those 10 days were, it was long, but it helped to have loving people in my life help me get through that period. And now here I am on January 10th, 2022. 10 days into the new year, finally back where I belong, in this seat doing this radio program. Phone lines are open. You can call in. Hit me up at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. It's time that we have a conversation because after yesterday, there's a lot that I need to get off my chest, but I'm going to focus on one segment at a time, one topic at a time. So we're going to start with the local team that exists here in New England, a team that's called the New England Patriots. Because here we are with the 2022 postseason about to begin. The 2021 regular season had just ended. It ended yesterday, and what a day it was. But if you're a New England Patriots day, if you're a New England Patriots fan, trust me, that is a day that you would absolutely prefer to forget. Completely forget. You just want to be one of those people that are out there and that when they see the flash from the flash pin from Will Smith in Men in Black, they're like, I have no recollection of such event that you're asking me to recall because I got completely distracted. I have no memory of what happened yesterday. Unfortunately, I have not been flashed by that mob pin, Men in Black pin, as of yet. So therefore, all of what I witnessed yesterday, I'm still able to recall by and large part. But as the postseason officially begins this Saturday, there are concerns that I do have. When the Patriots were 9-4, number one seeded team in the AFC, everything looked good. Everything looked as if that this is a team that is back. This team looks like they are going to roll all the way to the Super Bowl. And there is that feeling in New England, whereas, man, there is something special about this team. See, Mike Tyson, the legendary boxer, once said, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. That statement could not be more true in life. See, I'm a big proponent of you find out what your true colors are when you're faced with adversity. When you're faced with adversity, You see exactly what you're made of. And the New England Patriots are no strangers to adversity in 2021, 2022. They're not. This is the same team that started off 2-4. And we were wondering, is it time to put Belichick on the hot seat? I was one of those people that was wondering, maybe he's lost that fastball. Maybe he's finally hit the rocking chair. Well, you can happily send him off into retirement and say, hey, it's been wonderful, but it's time for you to go. You've done your job here for 20 years. Thank you for all you've done, but it's time to get the heck out of here. And then the Patriots win 7 in a row. And then the national hype, man, this team could very easily find its way to Los Angeles. And then the bye week comes, and you'd think with the bye week, this team would reset, come back rested, ready to roll. And then the Patriots get their collective arses canned to them by the Indianapolis Colts. That's what ends up happening. And you're like, oh, man, that didn't look good. Man, that was a real wake-up call. Like, okay, whoa. Hold up now. Oh, okay. You got a divisional opponent coming up the following week. And that it was the Buffalo Bills game. They come to Foxborough and they completely said, we're going to give you a nice wedgie, dangle your lunch in front of you, and basically treat you like this was some sort of a schoolyard in the third grade. And that's exactly what the Bills did to the Patriots. They lose back-to-back games. And you're like, oh, from 9-4 to 9-6, what's going on with this team? This team looked pretty invincible before the bye. Now suddenly, they look as if that they can't even buy their own T-Pass to get on the train or the bus. Now, guess what? The lowly Jaguars, yes, the same team that absolutely made the Indianapolis Colts look like complete Hoosier clowns down in Jacksonville yesterday. They come into Gillette, final home regular season game of the year. And the Patriots annihilated the Jaguars. Woo, everything looks good. You know, the old fool's gold? Yeah. I didn't buy into it one bit. I just didn't. Part of the reason why I didn't buy into it was, for Pete's sake, it's the Jaguars. This is a team that you are supposed to beat, not play down to your competition. They got the win. They punched their postseason ticket. I was happy about that. I was happy that they punched a ticket into the postseason. But was I one of those jumping up and down, you know, on a trampoline in the backyard like it's a late July day with the hot dogs and burgers fired up in the backyard? No. I wasn't one of those people. I was one of those people that are like, okay, let's see what they do against Miami. And I kid you not. I kid you not. I warned my close friend, Chris, who's a season ticket holder, for weeks. And I've been saying this to him verbatim. But I am scared of that Week 18 matchup in Miami. Well, what are you scared about? Well, let me tell you why. The Patriots have not played well in Miami the last several seasons. Going back to when Brady was still a Patriot. Yesterday? Man, listen, let me tell you something. That first drive where Tua Tagovailoa threw that touchdown pass to Jalen Waddle, I said right then and there, I kid you not. I kid you not. I said, here we go. This is exactly what I was afraid of. Oh, no big deal. The next offensive drive, which happened to be the first one for the Patriots, Mac Jones, oh, that was a pick six. And who picks up? Oh, of course, Xavier Howard. Touchdown Dolphins, 14-0. At that point, if you are a Patriots fan watching this game and you're watching what's happening on the field, admit it out loud to yourself, or you can call into the program and admit it to me directly, you knew right then and there that this game was pretty much in the bag. That psychologically, everything that you feared, everything that you were worried about, everything that you did not want to have happen to the Patriots happened within the first 10 minutes of the game. And when I say first 10 minutes of the game, I'm talking the first 10 minutes of game clock. Because that's exactly what happened. Before you know it, you're down 14-0. Yeah, the Patriots, they claw their way back and, you know, try to make it, you know, dramatic and all that fun stuff. And it's like, I didn't bite the cake one bit. Why was I going to? For those who follow me on Twitter, and if you don't follow me on Twitter, you can follow me on Twitter at Shukri Writes. I'll spell it out for you, at S-H-U-K-R-I-W-R-I-G-H-T-S. I was pretty consistent in which I said that one of the things that I did not enjoy about yesterday's game was the fact that the Patriots just looked like they were beating themselves. They're beating themselves in ways that you never would have thought that you would see this from a Bill Belichick coach team. And you saw that in spades. It was like showing up to the door during a football party at a house, and you have five boxes of pizza pies. First pie is, hey, the first topping is turnovers. Second pie, oh, the topping for that one? Oh, it's going to be the good old, like, ineptitude. Third one, what's your third topping? Oh, we have the topping of, idiocy. Idiot football. Fourth one, we're going to serve you anchovies, but this anchovies is laden with colossal poop the pants. And then the fifth one is poor body language. Ooh, let's start with the body language one. Oh, ay, ay, ay. Ay, ay, ay. You know, the one thing I will say about body language is that when you are a leader or a supposed leader, you are the face of the group of people that you are leading. You are supposed to show confidence even in the face of adversity. When you begin to mope, when you begin to feel sorry for yourself and everyone around you sees it and feeds off of it, you're screwed. You're absolutely screwed. It's like the CEO of Enron moping around, feeling sorry for himself because he got caught with his hands in the cookie jar by the feds, and now he knows he has to spend the next 300 years in prison. That was Mac Jones yesterday. Mac Jones was the CEO of Enron who got caught red-handed, and now he's going to have to spend the next 300 years in prison. But in this case, not literally, he's going to have to spend the entire week trying to figure out what on earth is going on within the last five games and fix it now. Because guess what? The next team that he's facing is a team that he should know all too well by now. That's the Buffalo Bills. So if you're a Patriots fan on this Monday night listening to this program, yeah, you have every reason to be very concerned. You should be very concerned. If you have any concerns or ideas as to how the Patriots can get its head out of its rear end before Buffalo decides to end their season abruptly on Saturday night, because that's the direction that we're going right now, please give me a call at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Let's take a break, shall we? Because I got more. I got a lot more to get into because, let's be honest, it's Football Monday. Coming up next, the Patriots are an example of what happens when you don't learn from history. when you don't learn from history, bad things happen. I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm talking about. Coming up next, right here on the Shukri Wright Show. This is your boy, Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Toss Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app, globally on WMFO.org. We'll be back after this.
The federal government alone spends $4.5 billion a year locking up people for drug offenses. It costs almost $28,000 a year just to incarcerate one prisoner. Compare that to the average annual tuition at a four-year public college, which is $5,491, and you realize that the drug war is blurring our nation's priorities. Taxpayers' money would be much better spent educating people instead of punishing them. But thanks to ever-increasing mandatory minimum drug sentences, an entire class of young people are being filtered into new supermax prisons while the resulting budget crunch forces the rest of us to go to old, dilapidated schools. The more money we dump into prisons, the less we have to invest in college campuses. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out how you can get involved in the war against the war on drugs.
Don't worry.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Touch Reform Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Glad you're able to listen to the program on this Monday night here in Greater Boston, wherever you are in the country. As always, appreciate it. Call into the program. Phone lines are open at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the program. And history is designed to teach us lessons. You see, we learn this in school time and time again. We learn about different events that happen in history, and we learn oftentimes than not that history is filled with lessons that are meant to be learned and never to be repeated again. See, in sports is, it's like a repetitive algorithm of lessons learned or not learned. And one of the things that I really have come to realize in sports throughout time and even throughout life is that there are moments in time that ultimately either defines a team or it tears a team apart. One of the things that I'm alluding to is 2019. Let's rewind the memory tape 3 years now. Tom Brady's final year as a New England Patriot, as a quarterback of the New England Patriots. The team gets off to an 8-0 start. Everything looks good. The defending Super Bowl champions, they're rolling through the entire league. Everything looks fine and dandy until what? Remember that fateful Sunday night game against Baltimore? That was the year that Lamar Jackson won league MVP. I'm sure you remember that game. I do. And we all remember how things ended with New England. They, in fact, lost 3 out of 4. They did. And the thing that I remember most is that when you look back at the end of that season, ay, 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 it was tough to watch. There was no other way to put it. The Patriots, they looked good at points, but man, the end of that 2019 season, they lost. They lost like three out of the last five games. They lost to the Chiefs. They beat the Bengals the following week. They beat the Bills, but they lose to the Dolphins. And oh, by the way, if you want to go even before the Chiefs game, they lost to the Texans on Sunday Night Football. So in actuality, they lost 3 out of the last 5 games to end the season. And then, of course, as we all remember, they lost that wild card game to the Titans. That was Brady's final game as a Patriot. Now, fast forward to 2021. Now, here we are in 2022. The Patriots, they lose 3 out of the last 4 games. And things are not looking good right now. The Patriots find themselves practically scratching their heads, trying to put their collective brains together and wonder as what exactly has gone wrong since the bye. Because everything was seemingly clicking. When I say seemingly, I'm including one Mac Jones. The defense looked like they were finally gelling together, figuring things out after their early season troubles, stopping the run, and now they're struggling to stop the run, which is alarming. Because my good friend Tony Maserati of 98.5 The Sports Hub, he tweeted this out earlier, and I found this out to be particularly alarming. The Patriots defense, the last 4 weeks, have allowed an average of 160 yards on the ground Not good. Not good. And what makes this particularly worrisome is that this was a defense that seemingly appeared to have figured it all out. If you go back to the 7-game winning streak, what was one of the things that they were doing very well? I want you to call in and tell me. What was one of the things that they were doing very well? Stopping the run. Getting to the quarterback. Right now, they're not stopping the run. They're struggling to stop the run. And here's the thing that makes this particularly worrisome. And I'm going to tell you exactly why. Because if you go back to the Colts game, where they got gashed on the ground by Josh Taylor, and then the Bills come to Foxborough and completely pick apart the Patriots' defense, they have not looked good defensively. And then here's the key thing I want all of you to keep in mind. The Patriots' defense in 3 of the last 4 games have allowed at least 27 points or more. When they lost to the Colts, they allowed 27 points. When they lost to the Bills, they allowed 33 points. When they lost yesterday, they allowed 33 points to the Dolphins. What I'm saying is, when you look at the defense, I can't help but to wonder, are we witnessing Boogeyman 2.0? Are we? Because the one thing for the life of me that I have struggled with to understand is, how does a bye week turn what appeared to be a Super Bowl contending team into a team that can't even get out of its own way right now? You know, when things are going particularly bad, when Lawrence Guy gets penalized for a special teams penalty lining up over the snapper. When in God's green earth does that happen? I'll wait. I will gladly wait for someone to tell me, when does that ever happen? When is Bill Belichick or the special teams coach not know the rules? That never, ever happens. But what makes this particularly troubling? I want to go back to the 7-game winning streak for a moment. When the Patriots were rolling, the Patriots, when they beat the Chargers, they allowed 24 points. When they beat the Panthers, they allowed 6 points. When they beat the Browns, they allowed 7 points. When they beat the Falcons, they shut them out. They didn't even allow a single point. When they beat the Titans, who were banged up at the time, by the way, on November 28th, they allowed 13 points. When they beat the Bills, 14-10, they allowed 10 points. One thing that stands out to me is that the Chargers, the Titans, and the Bills, they weren't healthy. They weren't healthy. So that leads me to believe and ask the following question. Was this defense truly as good as it was during that 7-game winning streak? Or did they just happen to run into teams that happened to be banged up, which made their defensive performances in those games overinflated, if you will? Well, now, why would I say overinflated? Here's why. Because when a team like the Patriots, for example, you're going up against teams that can run the ball and run the ball efficiently, they can throw the ball down the field and so forth, and they're missing key players, like in the case of the Titans, for example, who, by the way, they are the number one seed in the AFC. When they played the Titans, the Patriots, that is, who are they missing? Derrick Henry. A.J. Brown, they were banged up. Now they're getting healthy. And oh, by the way, Derrick Henry may very well be back for the playoffs when they begin their playoff journey, divisional round, opponent to be determined. Now, you look at the Patriots and their struggles in the last 4 games, and you got to be saying to yourself, wow, what happened here? Is this a byproduct of The Patriots feeling bad for themselves? Or is this a byproduct of a team that was playing behind a masquerade and they're finally exposed for what they really are? If you got thoughts, the phone lines are open. Tell me how you really feel. 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. The Shukri Wright Show here at 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Trust Free From Radio here with you every Monday live from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. exclusively right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, and as well as on demand on iHeartRadio, on the Shukri Wright's podcast, and wherever else you get your podcasts at as well. Now, if I'm the Patriots, I am concerned about the defense. I am also concerned about your leader. And who is your leader? Mac Jones. Mac Jones is a rookie. I'm not making excuses for a rookie. Especially when the talk early in the season was, this is someone who is a football junkie. This is someone who is obsessed with football. This is someone who is absolutely passionate about the game. And all that was lovely and dandy. We heard all of the positive superlatives surrounding Mac Jones early on. Now, where are the superlatives for Mac Jones? When I see Mac Jones out on the field, I see someone who pouts like a third grader who is not happy that things are not going his way. You know, when you're young and you're on the playground and you're playing a game of dodgeball, or better yet, you're playing a game of tag, you're it, and no one wants to play with you, that is what Mac Jones looks like right now. He looks like someone who is like who is struggling to find someone to play with. He obviously has 10 other men on the field with him, obviously. But watch how he reacts when he doesn't complete a pass or he's not able to get a key third down conversion. Watch his body reaction, his body language. His body language says an awful lot. And it goes back to my first segment when I said, when things don't go your way, you find out your true colors. This is why I'm very concerned. Mac Jones does not handle adversity well. Don't feed me the bullcrap of, well, Mac Jones just cares deeply. You should care deeply, otherwise you're not in the NFL. That's nonsense to me at this point. When you're struck with adversity, how does your quarterback respond? That tells me everything you need to know. I want to give you an actual example, and I want all of you, those who are listening, to really think about this for a moment. I want you to compare Mac Jones to Justin Herbert, for example. And I'm serious. I want you to really make that comparison. Why? Because those two guys are two young quarterbacks. Justin Herbert was the offensive rookie of the year just a year ago. He's in his second year. Mac Jones is a rookie. But I want you to pay attention and to really analyze and think about what I'm about to tell you. See, if you go back and watch last night's game between the Chargers and the Raiders, which was a phenomenal game, by the way, and if you didn't watch the game, I feel bad for you. You really should go back and watch the replay of it on NFL Network whenever it airs. And I'm sure it is going to air at some point this week. But go back and watch Justin Herbert. How did he handle pressure? How did he handle adversity? Because the Chargers, they were basically 64 seconds away from having their season end in regulation. When things didn't go his way, did you see him pout or throw his shoulders around like an aggravated elementary child? No. What you saw was, okay, next play. No big deal. We got this. Mac Jones, you go back and you watch the game yesterday against Miami, all you saw over and over was, oh, come on. Like a petulant child who is chopping his feet, catching an attitude with the teacher when the teacher tells him, no, Tommy, you can't do that. You're not allowed to take that candy. It's not time yet. That's the difference between Mac Jones and Justin Herbert. Body language. How do you react to when things don't go your way? It speaks volumes. And if you're the Patriots, you need to have an honest conversation with Mac Jones. Seriously. Because his attitude is infecting the other team. Or I should say, his attitude is infecting his teammates. That's what's happening. And it's not good. And the positive results have not been there as a result of his actions. So what do? You change it up. You do what you got to do to change things up. And if that's the case, a wise man knows that you don't make the same mistakes twice. Mac Jones has made the same mistake one way too many times over the course of the last 4 weeks. Something's got to give. Something absolutely has to give. Coming up next, there is dumb and there is dumber. I want to give you exactly the reason why I say you get what you deserve in life. I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm talking about. Stay around. You'll find out. You're listening to The Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Toss Free Farm Radio streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org.
As they would.
Welcome back to the Strictly Right Show at 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Touch Free Forum Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app, globally on WMFO.org, on demand on the Strictly Right podcast, on iHeartRadio, and wherever else you get your podcast. Phone lines are open. You can call in 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number to call into the show. One of the things that I've come to understand as I've gotten older is that you get what you deserve in life. You know, no one just suddenly walks in and just says, hey, let's just play the role of the fairy godmother and everything magically just changes or disappears from your life that you didn't want to have any sort of impact on your life. Doesn't work that way. See, decisions in life are usually either based in fear or circumstances that has led you to making those decisions. And that particularly applies to the Miami Dolphins. And what is traditionally known as Black Monday, Black Monday being the first Monday after the end of the regular season in the NFL, is the day that you usually hear about firings and personnel retiring and so forth. That's when you usually hear about it. See, today in the NFL, the most stunning news came out of South Florida today. And that stunning news was Brian Flores out as head coach after just 3 seasons on the sidelines for the Miami Dolphins. I was just shocked when the news broke. And here are my reasons why. Flores, he was 24-25, over 3 seasons, he just fell short of leading his team to the postseason. And that was something that I looked at and I said, well, I'm not going to judge him based upon his win and loss record, although Bill Parcells has said it best that you are what your record says you are. But in the case of the Miami Dolphins, not entirely true. Because if you remember, When Brian Flores first took over the team in 2019 as head coach, this was an organization that was in turmoil, that was in chaos, and that was in a state of flux. They didn't know which way they were going, if they were running left or if they were running right. All they know is that they were practically the role of roadrunner trying to run away from Coyote, and that Coyote is their past. That's what they were. And Brian Flores brought them to a level of respectability, something that the Miami Dolphins have not even experienced in God knows how long. But this particular statement from Dolphins owner Stephen Ross raised my eyebrows and begun to really spin a hamster wheel in my mind, percolating thoughts that I didn't necessarily want to have, but I'm going to tell you exactly what those thoughts were after I tell you what Stephen Ross had said. Ross's statement was, on quote, "After evaluating where we are as an organization and what we need going forward to improve, I determined that key dynamics of our football organization weren't functioning at a level I wanted it to be and felt that this decision was in the best interest of the Miami Dolphins. I believe we have a talented young roster in place and have the opportunity to be much better in 2022. I want to thank Brian for his hard work and wish him nothing but the best in his future." Unquote. Now, when he evaluated the organization, did he come to a realization that Brian Flores was part of the problem and that he didn't see him as being part of the solution going into 2022? Am I missing something here? Am I missing the fact that Brian Flores and general manager Chris Greer did not have the best relationship? So because of the palpable tension that existed between these two men, that the owner, Stephen Ross, said, "You know what, clean house. Both of you, you're both getting the pink slip and you're both gone." I'm trying to understand, as a football fan and even as a broadcaster, where is the connection here exactly? Because I really do feel bad for Dolphin fans down in Miami. I do. Because for the first time since the days of Dave Winstadt, this is between 2000 and 2004, you had a head coach. You had someone who actually was a pretty damn good head coach. You had someone, despite his misgivings or his probably his ineffective communication lines with his quarterback and how he handled the quarterback situation, you had someone that actually had a clue as to what he's doing. But for some reason, Ross said, "Nah, time to clean house. Flores and Greer, gone." Basically, Ross decided that he was going to choose his head of player personnel over the head coach of his team that was once selected to lead the Dolphins out of a dark era, and that dark era was the Adam Gase era. I don't think I need to tell anybody what that era was like in Miami. And if you need a refresher, let me allow you this much. This is the same head coach who damn near ruined the career of Ryan Tannehill. Go look at what Ryan Tannehill is doing now with the Tennessee Titans. That's all you need to know. I don't need to sit here and do a whole segment about how bad things were in Miami with Adam Gase. Highly not necessary. But the surprising part about the firing is that even then, even when Brian Flores took the job in 2019, and the controversial decisions that the Dolphins made in trading away Laremy Tunsil to the Houston Texans and also Minka Fitzpatrick to the Pittsburgh Steelers during Flores' first season, I looked at this team and I said to myself, this team could actually go somewhere if they had a competent general manager. I never once looked at this team and said, Brian Flores is the problem. He was never the problem. Could he have handled the Tua Tagovailoa situation better? Sure. Yes. I'll give him that. But as far as everything else goes, in terms of what was wrong with the front office in Miami, this wasn't a Brian Flores issue. This was an issue of the owner wanting to make a change for the sake of making a change. Why? You are who you are for a reason. You may have a quarterback. You might not have a quarterback. But right now, as it currently stands, you have something in Miami with Tua Tagovailoa. You have that. However, if we're going to have a moment of brutal honesty, that is the reason why you have the level of mediocrity that has plagued this Dolphins franchise for as long as it has is because of decisions like this. When you have something good with the head coach, you don't walk around trying to flex your arms as if you're Johnny Bravo from the Cartoon Network. That you don't do. And that's exactly what Stephen Ross did today. Well, I'm the owner, and I'm going to make decisions what I feel is in the best interest of the Miami Dolphins. Really, tell me how has that worked for you over the last decade plus. I will gladly wait for you to tell me. Because from a bird's eye view, it hasn't worked out well. It hasn't. And that's even when you had Ryan Tannehill, even when you had Ryan Fitzpatrick as your quarterback. It didn't go well. But yet, somehow, some way, this has turned into a move in which that I believe locally and even nationally, you're like, what the hell are they thinking in Miami? The problem is they aren't thinking. They're just going to make this decision based upon, well, this is what we're going to do, and this is what I think is the best for this franchise, for this roster moving forward. But here's what ultimately cost Chris Grier his job. And it's not hard to figure out. His decision-making at drafting the quarterback. Remember, let's go back to the 2020 NFL draft. They had the 5th overall pick. Who did they draft? Tua Tagovailoa. That is not a slap at Tua whatsoever. However, this is the same draft class in which some guy by the name of Justin Herbert was drafted right after him by the Chargers. And that's the difference in the NFL. When you make decisions as such, in which Justin Herbert, this was someone who's an offensive rookie of the year in 2020, and then this year, he turned the Chargers into a legitimate contender. He was basically one bad head coaching decision away from making the playoffs. That's what he was in 2021. Justin Herbert, that is. Chris Grier decided to take the average-looking toy to the big dance while LA got the sexy Mercedes and is driving around in that said Mercedes for the next 10 years at minimum. Those kind of decisions comes back to haunt you in the NFL. That's why I can see Chris Grier losing his job. Yes, because of that. But it's just a decision, exactly, at the most important position in all of sports, quarterback. Those kind of decisions make or break your franchise. You don't believe me? Go look at the New York Giants, for example. 2004, they draft Eli Manning after trading for the pick with the San Diego Chargers at the time. They draft Eli Manning. We all know how that ended. 2018, what do? I said correctly, 2019, they drafted Daniel Jones. You go ahead and tell me how has that worked for the New York Giants right now. And I'm using that as an example because I'm not just talking in terms of the local aspect. I'm talking from a national perspective. How has that worked for the Giants? It hasn't worked. And they're planning to bring him back again in 2022 as part of the absolute, the Ringley Brothers Circus Show that is in New York. Shocker. That's why Chris Greer is out of a job. This shouldn't be a reason why Brian Flores is out of a job in Miami. That to me makes absolutely no sense. You are who you are because of the decision that you make. Miami continues to mire in mediocrity because of the decisions that they continue to make over and over again. They made the wrong choice in firing Brian Flores. End of story. They made the right choice of letting go of Chris Greer as the general manager. No argument here. But as far as head coach, big mistake. And trust me, he's going to go somewhere else in very short order and succeed pretty quickly. As long